Lord, while the words I speak are my words, we pray that the words that we hear will be your words. Amen. The spiritual journey begins with gratitude. You wake up one morning and you're feeling wonderful. You're the luckiest person in the world. And you start looking around to see who you should thank for the gift of this amazing morning. The gift of a new day. The gift of life itself. Life in abundance. One of the struggles that each of us has is this tension between abundance and scarcity. It goes on every day. There are days when our hearts are full, and then there are days when life is terrible. And we think of all the things that we don't have. We don't have enough love. We don't have companionship. We don't have enough money. We don't have things that we need to get on with our lives to bring back that sense of abundance. The gospel that I just read speaks to this tension. A man asked Jesus to be an arbitrator on dividing the estate. And Jesus uses it as an opportunity to say a word about greed, being focused on your own needs, because there is no sense of abundance. And then that parable about the rich man who has an abundant harvest. And his focus is, what do I do with all my goods? I got all these goods. I know what I'll do. I'll build a larger barn. And so he does. And he has room in that barn for all his goods. And he says to his soul, now I can relax. Eat, drink, be merry. The only problem is that very night his soul is required of him. And the question is, who will get the inheritance? Because he's never going to enjoy it. I think the problem there was the focus on self and not thinking through the eyes of abundance about the needs of others. Because abundance makes us want to share, wants us to be generous, wants to give things away. Jesus is our example. He was the giver. He lived with a deep sense of generosity, a generosity that was so deep that it really led to sacrifice, giving and not counting the cost. And that's an example for us. And the words of Jesus, he who would save his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. That the path is in giving life away, sharing life, being generous with life, reaching out to others, trying to make a difference in those places, the hard places. Yes, the battle goes on every day between abundance and scarcity, trying to bring an abundant life view to the hard places of our lives. There are so many hard places. One of the reasons, I believe, for worship and spiritual practice is to gain the energy and focus that we need to deal with our hard places. There's so many things that frighten us, that make us want to back away from life, that make us want to draw the wagons in a circle or take a deep breath, because life comes at us fast sometimes. Just on Sunday morning, to wake up to the multiple mass shootings that have gone on in our country, it makes you automatically want to shut down, withdraw. It makes you wonder, when's it going to come to Richmond? A scary, terrible thought. Yes, there's a lot to make us shut down. And yet, as Christian people, we need to lean in. We need to find the energy to keep going, to keep reaching out, to building a community where everybody has a place at the table. What are those hard places for each of you? What are the challenges? One of the challenges in my life is being a primary caregiver for my wife. She has multiple sclerosis. She's had it for 25 years. Her twin sister, who has been gone now for 10 years, had it from the time she was 18. It's robbed my wife of a whole lot of things. For us, it's robbed us of our partnership. In this 54 years of marriage, we're not partners anymore. I'm her caregiver. She has no memory. She can't complete a thought. My role is to be vigilant, to pay attention. It takes a lot of energy. That's why prayer and spiritual practice are so important, to get the energy to keep leaning in. But we have lots of good days. We live one day at a time. We go around the premises, we call it toots. And we see lots of people, and the nursing assistants and others come and give her hugs. And people will say to me, "Bob, we're thinking about you, we're keeping you in our prayers." My wife is a tremendous extrovert, and she loves being with people. And even though she doesn't know exactly what's going on, she'll reach out to somebody and say, "Hi, lovey." In fact, she says that to lots of people. And so the nursing assistants will often say, "Oh, here comes Lovey," or "Hi, Lovey." And then one day we're on one of our toots wandering around, and one of the nursing assistants looked at Lolly and said, "There's Lovey." And then she looked at me for a moment and said, "There's Mr. Lovey." And that has now become a ritual that we enjoy. When I go and see her this afternoon, I'll say, "You are the Lovey, and I am Mr. Lovey, and Mr. Lovey loves the Lovey." And I'll look forward to the expression on her face. Sometimes it's appreciative. Sometimes she screws her face up in a funny thing. But it's a moment that's important for both of us. Yes, we need energy for the challenges of our lives. Yesterday was a good day for Lolly and me. We wandered around Westminster Canterbury a couple of times. We went around the Ellipse, which is in the back, sat on the bench where we usually spend some time. We went to the therapy place and threw the ball. While she can't walk and she doesn't really know, she does throw the ball well. And that's become another ritual. Then we went back up on her floor, and I had dinner with her in her neighborhood restaurant, we call it. And then as I was walking back to my apartment after dinner and saying goodnight to her, I said to myself, "Self, this has been a good day." God, thank you for the gift of another good day with Lolly.